Backseat Box Office episode number 152 for the weekend of August 16th through August 18th, 2013. You ready? Yeah.
I think so. Oh, wait a minute. How did I do last week? I didn't get a chance to look at it.
Lion sack of shit. You got a 25.
Oh, did I? Oh.
You didn't I do last week? Dude.
It's
all right. I will flatten you. Now that might be the opening of the show. What did I do last week?
Another band name, prone to violence.
I'm Italian. I'm from Boston. Tis in my blood.
I don't want to racially profile, but you go ahead.
I'm okay with that. I'm racial. I'm nationality-ish profiling myself.
Oh. Well.
Okay. Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you're listening to Backseat Box Office. Hello, everybody, and hello, boys.
Hi.
How we doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Yay.
Me too.
You survived a weekend in Las Vegas, Jeff?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was a lot of fun, as it seems every Vegas trip is. I got to actually, you know, see my friend in Vegas that I never get to do. And I, you know, and it's highly questionable that will ever happen again. But it was a lot of fun. I discovered a new machine. They have a automated craps machine, which it basically looks like an adult version of Trouble, if you remember that board game.
Uh-huh. Click, 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 click,
everyone
click,
sits around the middle, and there's this big glass dome, and the die in it, and the platform that the dice sits on kind of vibrates or bounces up and down. You hit the button, and the dice go up in the air and then land. And then everyone goes, oh, when they lose their money. It was a lot of fun, and it lets me, because normally I get a little squeamish with the limits at the craps table when I'm in a casino. It lets me play for a little less money, so it was a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
It was a lot of fun. How about you? Yes. How was your birthday weekend? A little late.
Oh, I had fun. I got my hair done. It's all pretty and red. And I got nails, because I normally don't. I'm kind of feeling the girly vibe. Whoosh, whoosh. And let's see. Sunday, my friend and I went to that Bellagio Theater with the gigantic, comfy recliners. I was literally laying down watching Elysium.
Wow.
That was good. Oh, my God. I was so happy. And I had my drink and appetizers. And that picture that was on Facebook, that was goat cheese and arugula wrapped with prosciutto.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was.
You looked very happy.
I was happy. That was also, that was my second drink, too.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't driving. But it was just a Bellini, so it wasn't like strong stuff. Just some happy champagne. Champagne and peach nectar.
Oh, but not frozen?
No.
Do you have the macaroni grill by you?
Oh, yes.
They do frozen Bellinis.
Good. I love Romano's Macaroni Grill. Love that place.
Yeah.
And then we split, they have different kinds of Italian food. There's some pastas and pizza and sandwiches, and we split a big mortadella sub. I was quite in heaven, don't you know? And let's see. Yeah, that was... It was mostly low key. I mean, Sunday I was, you know, just out and about a little bit, but mostly low key. Thoroughly enjoyed my birthday. Yay!
Good.
Life is good. I got just a few presents, but very special ones. And that's all I'm going to say.
I almost had to buy you a magnet because there's inside Excalibur. There's a huge gift shop that has like a wall of magnets.
Oh,
the one that says my book club could drink your book club under the table.
I love that.
But, and why didn't you? So how was Elysium?
I enjoyed it. I really liked it. The one of the things, you know, before I saw it, for people tweeting that had seen it beforehand, the whole shaky cam during the fight scenes, expressing their displeasure at it. And yeah, I did not like it. I did not see how it, although I'm told that District 9 is just full of shaky cam, I did not see how it added to the fight scenes at all. If anything, just made it a little more confusing. There's this one fight scene. Have either of you seen Elysium yet?
No.
Nope.
There's one fight scene that's kind of on this metal landing platform. And you know from the previews that Matt Damon is all like screwed into this metal thing and he's like half RoboCop. And then the bad guy is also got this kind of RoboCop looking outfit on. And they're fighting. And it's not only shaky cam, but it's spinning in a circle cam. So for most of that fight, you have no idea who's throwing who, who's on the ground, who's flying up in the air. You can't tell. But I did enjoy it. A friend of mine, a coworker, his thought was that it didn't have to, you know, it could have been anyone in the role, in Matt Damon's role. I don't know if I particularly agree with that. He didn't suck or anything. It was a good movie. It went by pretty quick. Interesting storyline. I really like Jodie Foster because I don't often see her evil. I don't know if I've ever seen her evil in a movie role. I'm sure she's done something somewhere, but she just was not a nice woman. But I enjoyed it. Boom. I think that's it. Haven't seen any other movies.
Have you seen any movies?
I just watched Moneyball today, and I really enjoyed it.
Yay!
That was good.
Me too.
I got an interest in it a long time ago, and I missed it at the theater, and I never got around to renting it. And then I finally recorded it. And then it's been sitting on my DVR for so long, it's almost at the bottom of the list, getting ready to get erased anyway, because the DVR is almost full. So I'm like, I got to get this watched. But I have a buddy who is tangentially a part of that organization. He was originally in AAA in one of their home leagues here locally.
Mm.
And he has moved up. I think he's in, no, wait. I always get confused. It's single A, double A.
Triple A, yep.
Right, okay. So he was in, and in A, there's high A and low A.
Oh, okay.
So he started in low A here locally in Illinois. And then he is now in AAA in Texas as part of the Oakland A's affiliation.
Cool.
And he was like a 22nd round draft pick for the Oakland A's back in, I don't know, 97, 99, something like that. It's my buddy Aaron Nakula. So we were friends back when he was here local. We haven't talked in a long time because now he's in Texas, but yeah, so it was way back when when the movie came out, and he's like, yeah, this is about our organization. He was all hyped about it. I'm like, oh, I gotta check it out. So I finally watched it all these years later. So I have to send him a message on Facebook that I finally watched it and see what he's up to. Maybe reconnect a little.
Excellent. You saw it too, Jeff, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. And the strange thing was about Moneyball for me is I remember most of those players. And some of the players that were on that team, I know, are still around, just playing on different teams. But they did a pretty good job about how much of a paradigm shift, their approach was, to that organization. Because now there's almost half the league is using, the concepts that they didn't really pioneer, but, they just had the guts to, we're going to throw away how we usually evaluate players, and we're going to start looking at them, this different way.
Which really, logically, it's the way you should look at players, in my opinion.
Yes. Well, part of the part of the problem with that is, yes, we can, you know, get rid of all our older scouts and we bring in these other, you know, math majors in, and we start bringing these players in. But then when you have a fan base that we're letting, you know, the guy who's going to hit 30 home runs and made $5 million, we're going to let go, and then we're going to bring in three players that can barely hit over 250, but they walk a lot, and we're going to win. I mean, it, you know, that's why Brad Pitt was awfully stressed in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because you can bring those guys in, but you got to win.
Right.
Because, you know, very, very rarely, you know, can you just have a year of sucking really bad. I mean, you get, you know, they still have to make money. And it's kind of exacerbated by the fact that Oakland is not a big market. So it's not like they have a lot of money to, you know, if they have a really bad year, that be able to keep doing what they're doing. So it's it was a good story. It was a good story.
I enjoyed it. I you know, baseball is one of my favorite sports, and I will, you know, I love watching it on TV. I love more seeing it live, although I haven't been to any games at all this year. But I'm more often than not broke.
Well, yeah, I can't stand watching sports in almost any fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I love sports movies. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you get story along with it. It's not, you know, Moneyball is not just 2 hours of baseball.
No, it's not. But like it. Well, I don't know. I like sports, the compelling themes that usually go along. But
yeah.
No, I was just going to say, the thing with sports movies is you know that they're going to hit certain beats, that the favorite doesn't always win at the end, or very rarely wins at the end. You know, the underdogs usually prevail at the end, and then someone who sometimes has no business playing, you know, triumphs at the end.
Mm-hmm.
How that's different from actual sports is that actual sports, you never know what's going to happen, and sometimes the bad guys do win.
Yeah.
I've always watched sports since I was little. And I love watching, you know, football and baseball. I've kind of tuned out on hockey, and basketball has completely lost me, which is ironic because basketball is the sport I played in high school. But yeah, I love sports movies too. I don't think that they're even if it's a bad sports movie, you know, I'll still watch it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the very first sports movies I ever watched was not the first Bad News Bears, but the second one, Bad News Bears in Breaking Training. And we just, MLB Network just replayed that like last year. And I was shocked about that. I, you know, not that I liked it, but some of the things they got away with.
I don't think I saw the second one.
Yeah. So Walter,
different time.
Walter Matthau did not come back for the second one, so they had William Devane.
They had who?
William Devane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was a fairly popular working actor back in the...
Oh, no, I absolutely know who he is.
But yeah, it was... But it's wild watching old movies that you loved as a kid with your kids.
Mm.
And then having those awkward conversations about, what did they just do? Okay. So as far as movies for me, since I was in Vegas, we really didn't go out to see any movies. But while we're in the room, we had Comedy Central on the whole time, and I was able to watch probably half to two-thirds of Sex Drive, Waiting.
Oh, God, Sex Drive, Jesus.
And there's another one, I just can't remember what it is. Oh, My Best Friend's Girl. Sex Drive was fucking parts.
I was just talking with somebody about that movie.
Sex Drive I watched because at one point Backseat Producers did it. And Adam David had been wanting to do that movie for such a long time. That's really all I'm going to say about it.
I like Role Models, even though the more I watch it, the more I realize that they couldn't tighten it up a little bit.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I don't know if Art has the same opinion, but and I don't have any experience to base this on, but it's a fairly decent representation of the LARP subculture. LARP being live action role playing.
They did a good job of representing a certain section of that, the very hardcore. It depends on just what the group, the affiliation is going for. There are some that are a lot more loose than that, but that was a very, very tight organization that was represented there, from what I know. I've had a little contact with one that's a little local here, and they're much more loose. They get together for meetings, and it's like a once a month thing. It's not this constant thing that's going on all the time. So it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I laughed a lot.
I enjoyed waiting, but I love workplace comedies. Whether the TV show, like Drew Carey was, I was working in a department store at the time, and that was in a department store. But Waiting is set in this restaurant. If you want to think of like Applebee's or Chili's or Bennigan, has Ryan Reynolds, has Justin Long, Anna Faris, a lot of other actors you probably recognize, but it's just it's a dumb comedy about all crazy people that work in a restaurant, but maybe laugh multiple times.
I own it. I have yet to watch it.
Oh, really? Okay. And then the last one was My Best Friend's Girl. I didn't watch this one for too long because I'm not a big Dane Cook guy.
No, not even a little bit.
I like Dane Cook.
Oh, that's okay, Art. We still love you.
So what are you basing that on, Art? What movie sold you on Dane Cook?
What movie sold me on Dane Cook? I just don't hate him. I mean, I enjoy him. I liked...
Good luck.
My Best Friend's Girl made me laugh. I liked him a lot in Employee of the Month.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And then... Brittany owns the big massive deluxe edition of the Superfinger tour, and I thought it was funny. I thought it was pretty funny. It wasn't as funny as some of the classics. You know, she showed me that, and then I showed her Bill Cosby himself and Eddie Murphy Delirious, and she had to agree mine were funnier. And she had to reevaluate because when I told her Bill Cosby's funny, she said, Bill Cosby's not funny. I said, no, you just don't know Bill Cosby. Like, I know Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby stand-up. Yeah. Classic stand-up, yes.
Or even his earlier career in acting was better than his later career or his, you know, his now more serious career as a, you know, role model and, you know, telling people, hey, stop doing stupid shit and you won't end up in stupid places.
Yeah.
You know, and...
All right, so I'm going to throw out a Bill Cosby movie and I'm going to... Hey, Art, tell me if you've seen this one. But I have a good feeling Lena might have seen it. Mother Jugs and Speed.
Oh, so moons and moons and moons ago.
I've only seen bits and pieces. And yes, a very, very long time ago. I did not see it in its entirety.
Good movie. Check it out.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go with something good like Leonard Part 6 or Ghost Dad.
I was waiting for him to say Ghost Dad. I really was.
Two of the most horrible movies ever.
Leonard Part 6. Oh, my God.
It's Bill Cosby himself might be my number one stand-up concert film.
It holds up.
It holds up. It absolutely holds up. Like I said, I showed it to her, and within like a week or two, I came home and she was just watching it again by herself. Just it was on. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Now moving over to Eddie Murphy, what came first, Delirious or Raw?
Delirious.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could not remember.
Yeah, no, Delirious was definitely first.
I am going to the movies tomorrow, movies-ish. I'm going to Riff Tracks of Starship Troopers.
I was going to ask if you were going to go to that.
Yeah!
tomorrow is our wedding anniversary, so I am not free to go to that.
Well, happy anniversary, Jeff and Mrs. Jeff.
Thank you.
How many years?
14.
Oh, boy.
14.
Excellent.
It's amazing how time flies.
It does.
So your kids started school?
Yes, this is actually week 2 of school. They started on August 5th.
Wow.
So all the people who are complaining about their kids starting this week and it's way too early, they can suck it. We started last week.
Wait, hold on. I got to fix my little headset.
But that means we'll get a week off for Thanksgiving, 2 weeks off for Christmas, and be out before Memorial Day.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that's changing it around. Are there still a lot of year-round schools out there?
I don't really know. I don't think that any of the other couples that we know that they're in any school districts that have year-round school. So I don't know how to answer that.
Okay, no, that's fine. I remember there were quite a few back in the day, 25 years ago when I was in school out there. But I was just wondering how much the landscape has changed or not. But it was the only place I ever came across that even had it.
Yeah. Are you from California originally?
No, I spent 3 years out there, though.
Ah, okay.
When I was of school age.
Ah.
Yeah, actually, I was literally just down the way from where Jeff is now. I was in Long Beach. So really not that far.
And that's actually the city where I was born.
Long Beach?
Mm-hmm. And I got my 4-year degree from Long Beach State.
Cool. Never been to Long Beach. I spent what I term as an extended vacation. I think for 7 months I lived in both Marina Del Rey and Santa Monica, like 3.5 months in each place. And this was in 88 because I remember it was the Seoul Olympics when I was there because it was the summertime. And the job that I had in Boston had been it was a small local Boston movie chain, and it was bought by Lowe's Theaters. And everyone was laid off and everyone got a happy little severance package. And a friend of mine who was living in Marina Del Rey was moving and needed someone to sublet her part of her apartment for 3 months. So I sent her, I emailed her, not emailed her, because this was 1988. I mailed her rent plus a little extra money, and I said, buy me a bed and I'll take it. And right. I didn't have a car, so, 7-8 months was about as long as I could. I did some temp work when I was living in Santa Monica, and I kind of lucked out and found a place to live that was about a mile from the job. So I walked most of the time, but it just, it was a nasty, nasty apartment. So I didn't really last very long in the Los Angeles area. And then from 92 to 95, I lived in San Francisco, which was very nice. I enjoyed that.
Cool.
Suppose it's time to get on to business.
Yes. Why don't you tell us, how the movies did at the box office last week, Lena.
What a good idea. Coming in at number one was the movie I saw, Elysium, grossing $29.8 million. Coming in at number two was We're the Millers, grossing, oh my God, I actually put $264 million. I'm going to assume I meant $26.4 million. Coming in at number three was Planes, grossing $22.2 million. And number four was Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, grossing $14.4 million. And rounding things up, falling to number five was Two Guns, and that grossed $11.2 million. And onto movie pickings, it was a bit of a... We had seven people playing last week. It was a thin week. We had two 25s, one from our lovely Jeff. And we had a ditto of Jeff, BD has returned. Oh. And naturally, he returns with a 25. Damn you, man! See, that's what I get for saying I missed him. He comes back and gets a 25. I cursed my own self. So congratulations to the two of you. And we don't need to know what you picked. Next with 23 points was Kugron. He had Elysium correct at number one. He flip-flopped Plains at number two and Where the Millers in number three. And he had Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, correct at number four and Two Guns correct at number five. Next was me with 21 points. The only one I had correct was Elysium. I flip-flopped Plains and Where the Millers. And then I flip-flopped Two Guns and Percy Jackson. Next up is Nick with 19 points, and he has a voicemail.
Hi, gang. It's Nick. Number one, I'm going to go with Plains. Two, Elysium. Three, Where the Millers. Four, Percy Jackson. Five, Two Guns. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nick. He had Plains at number one, and since that came in third, he lost 4 points on that. He had Elysium at number two, and Where the Millers at number three, each one losing a point. And he had Percy Jackson and Two Guns correct in fourth and fifth. Next up, Scott and Art had the same picks with 17 points. So, Art, tell the peeps what you picked.
I put Plains at number one. That was terrible. Elysium at number two, Percy Jackson and Sea of Monsters at number three, Where the Millers at number four, and Two Guns at number five.
Yeah, I was worried about Cars potentially being number one. Just because of the
Cars? You mean
because
Planes?
Planes.
Plane.
Because it had a lot more screens than the other two movies.
I think that was one of the softest movies related to Pixar, softest openings ever. I mean, I don't think since like maybe A Bug's Life, they opened under $30 million. And I'm not even sure about that one.
A Bug's Life. I liked that. That was a good movie. Oh, okay, and now on to the leaderboard. Kugron is still holding on to number one, 22.9 points. Jeff, very close in second, 22.8 points.
Oh, yeah.
BD is... I know.
So
you know he hopefully he won't ditto you next week, and maybe you can. I love you, Kugron. Maybe you can crawl up above him a little bit. VD is in third with 22.5 points. Scott is in fourth with 21.6 points. Nick is in fifth with 20.6 points. Art, you are in sixth with 19.8 points. I am in seventh with 19.5 points. Father Beast in eighth, 19.4. Mrs. Beast in ninth with 18.3. And Scuba Dave is in 10th with 17.4 points. And I am not going to forget the Art House picks this week. Although, kind of wish I should. In a World was the top average of all the movies this weekend. It averaged $23,514. Lovelace, which I still want to see. A sad average of $1,164, which means Jeff is in first. I think you were in first last week also. $321,883. I am in second, $276,649. Art, you're in third, $271,032. Father Beast in fourth, $66,805. And BD, who I think only played once, he is in fifth place with $42,879. And that is it for the results. Thank you, everybody, for playing. And we have another mess of movies this week, don't we?
Four.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hit us.
How about we go alphabetical? So let's do Jobs first. Jobs is currently 40% on the tomato meter. 10 reviews, 4 fresh and 6 rotten. So there's still, I guess, maybe there's not a lot more reviews, but we'll see. The audience, 89% want to see it out of 14,192. So here's the description of the movie. It only takes one person to start a revolution. The extraordinary story of Steve Jobs, the original innovator and groundbreaking entrepreneur who let nothing stand in the way of greatness. The film tells the epic and turbulent story of Jobs as he blazed a trail that changed technology and the world forever. PG-13, 2 hours and 7 minutes, starring Ashton Kutcher and Dermot Mulroney, Josh Gad, Lucas Haas, Matthew Modine, J.K. Simmons, whoa, a lot of other people too, Leslie Ann Warren, James Woods, and it goes on and on and on. Apparently a lot of people worked at Apple.
Masioka.
Oh. What was his name on Heroes? I forget.
On what?
Hero.
Oh, yeah. I was like, why do I know that name?
I wanted to say Endo, but Endo was the other guy, right?
Endo was the other guy, yeah, no.
Also starring William Mapother, who was Ethan Rom from Lost, if you were.
Do you know who his cousin is?
I forgot. Sorry.
Tom Cruise.
I'm a bad Lost fanboy.
Tom Cruise.
Wow.
Now you know.
And Sam Levine from Freaks and Geeks is Apple One. So yeah, well, I don't know if I'm gonna see this movie. I'll probably. It's on cable.
Yeah, I would do it. I would definitely see it on cable.
All right, and
I don't really have any desire.
Choice review for Jobs is by Sebastian Doggart from the Daily Telegraph. And this brutality almost seems British. The poverty of Kutcher's skills as a serious actor is on full display. All right, so let's move on to Kick-Ass 2.
Kick-Ass 2. 44% rotten on the tomato meter, 25 reviews, 11 fresh, 14 rotten, 98% want to see it out of 58,812 user ratings. His heroic antics having inspired a citywide wave of mass vigilantes, Kick-Ass, Aaron Taylor Johnson, joins their ranks to help clean up the streets, only to face a formidable challenge when the vengeful Red Mist, Christopher Mintz Plasse, transforms himself into the world's first supervillain. In the sequel written and directed by Jeff Wadlow, Never Back Down, Dave and Mindy, Chloe Grace Moretz, are about to graduate high school and become a crime-fighting duo when their noble plans are foiled by Mindy's strict parents. Now as Mindy hangs up her hit girl uniform and navigates the treacherous high school social scene, Kick-Ass begins patrolling the streets with Justice Forever, a fearless group of urban watchdogs fronted by former MOG Thug Colonel Stars and Stripes, Jim Carrey. They've got the criminal element on the run when Chris D'Amico lays his Red Mist persona to rest and reemerges as the Motherfucker, a powerful criminal mastermind with a loyal legion of henchmen. The Motherfucker is determined to avenge the death of his late father, who previously perished at the hands of Kick-Ass and Hit Girl. Now as the Motherfucker and his minions begin targeting the members of Justice Forever, Hit Girl realizes that the only way to save Kick-Ass and his new friends is to emerge from her forced retirement and fight back with everything she's got.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to say that is the best description you've done just because you're stepping into that name.
So, you know, you just gotta own that motherfucker.
That's right. Okay, that confuses me.
Well, the one guy adopted her. The other guy's.
Oh, he wasn't her real dad.
Who?
Or in this movie, she's adopted.
You talking about Big Daddy from the first one?
Yeah.
Big Daddy was her real dad.
Okay. Yeah.
He died in the first movie.
Right.
So his ex-partner adopted her.
Okay. Little bits that I don't remember.
Right. So obviously he has hooked up with somebody so that she has parents.
Thank you for finishing that loop for me, because I thought her mother was dead in the first one, and
her mother was dead in the
okay,
first one.
Okay, so I'm like, so who are her parents? I understand.
Since Art Since Art has crossed the line a little bit, I'll just go ahead and say that there is a shit ton of people in this movie.
Right, which I was just going to get back to before Lena interrupted, because there's a lot of good names here. John Leguizamo,
okay,
absolutely love. Are either of you familiar with his stand-up?
Yes, before Lena interrupted. Bitch, please. Let's just go balls out now. Okay.
Donald Faison.
Mm-hmm. Faison.
Faison, okay.
Close enough.
Clark Duke.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Sex Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Going down, going down. All right. That looks to be all I recognize. Anybody else you guys want to call out?
Whoops, hold on.
Lindsay Fonseca comes back from the first one. She was the girlfriend of Kick-Ass.
That's right.
Nancy Butler from Witchblade. I think that's her. MMA star Chuck Liddell. God, yeah. This, oh, my God.
They got Nicolas Cage all the way down at the bottom. I wonder if he's making like a flashback appearance.
Yeah, I guess have to be.
I don't know if I know any of these other names, as I'm new.
Yeah. So, rated R, an hour and 53 minutes. Done.
Okay, I want to see it. I loved Kick-Ass. I want to see Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, I
as a father
might go see it
around that age. I was shocked by how much I loved Hit Girl.
She was, oh my Jesus, she was incredible.
Yeah.
For a little spud like that, I was mightily impressed by that child.
So I'm sorry, Art. You're
yeah, Tony. Oh, I was just gonna say, I think I might see it this weekend because Tony was interested enough that the new one was coming out that he said he wanted to see the first one. I'm like, it's right there on the shelf. So he took it home and he watched it. And he said he enjoyed it. So he might be catching that this weekend.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's switch gears into Lee Daniels, the butler, which tomato meter of 85% out of 27 reviews, 23 fresh and 4 rotten. 94,000 people, 94% want to see it out of 8,040 people. So here we have Lee Daniels, the butler, tells the story of a White House butler who served 8 American presidents over 3 decades. The film traces the dramatic changes that swept American society during this time, from the Civil Rights Movement to Vietnam and beyond, and how those changes affected this man's life and family. Forrest Whitaker stars as the butler, with Robin Williams as Dwight Eisenhower, John Cusack as Richard Nixon, Alan Rickman as Ronald Reagan, James Marsden as John F. Kennedy, Liv Schreiber as Lyndon B. Johnson, and many more. Academy Award nominated Lee Daniels, Precious, directs and co-wrote the script with Emmy Award winning Danny Strong, who did Game Change. PG-13, 2 hours and 6 minutes. Also has Oprah Winfrey, Cuba Gooding Jr., Terrence Howard, Jane Fonda as Nancy Reagan. I'm a little perplexed by James Marsden as John F. Kennedy. With some of the casting or level of casting.
Physically, yeah.
And another curiosity of Rotten Tomatoes, they have Matthew McConaughey also as John F. Kennedy.
That's weird.
Or if that's
I wonder if it's
Robert Kennedy or
like older and younger.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey's also in it. Did you mention Mariah Carey?
He did not. Okay. Or Lenny Kravitz.
My eyes did not go past Minka Kelly. Sorry. also Lenny Kravitz, Melissa Leo, Vanessa Redgrave.
Who's Minka Kelly?
Derek Jeter's girlfriend.
Also Friday.
And also what?
In a terrible but titillating The Roommate.
And she was also in that remake of Charlie's Angels.
Oh.
The first one or the second one?
What about that one? Actually, I think it was the television series.
Yes.
It
had Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore and Lucy Liu.
Yeah, not the...
Brought her back as a television series with a bunch of different people.
Dan, I don't think...
She was in 500 Days of Summer.
That's right, at the end. Forgot about that.
Yeah. I'm almost...
She was Autumn.
Okay. I'm almost there's just so many big names in this movie. And it, on the one hand, it almost has me concerned, but then on the other hand, I think of JFK, and that worked out okay.
JFK?
I feel like I would fall asleep through this movie. I don't know. I don't know. It's got a lot of good actors in it. I don't know. This is another cable.
I do want to see it, but I kind of have the fact that it's just Oprah Winfrey is kind of all over the place talking about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a turnoff. But the movie looks great, and I just hate the fact that she won't shut up. And she's everywhere, and it's kind of like the Oprah Book Club. I don't want to read anything that you push just because you keep pushing it, if that makes any sense.
No, I was just looking at one of the few Rotten Tomato reviews.
Ah.
Audience pandering, history light, Whitaker's dazzling, but Daniel's self-congratulatory film spoon feeds us a civil rights lesson without adding nuance to the conversation. And that comes from Karen James from James on Screen S.
Okay.
So that might be a blogger. Okay. So Art One.
One last comment. I think if you guys don't see this movie in the theaters, I think you just don't have enough white guilt.
Well played, sir. Well played. I do want to see it. I am a big fan of Forest Whitaker. The cast does look fantastic. I would like to see it.
No backpedaling now. Too late.
No, I said I wanted to see it, but I didn't know if I would.
I know. I'm just messing with you. All right. Moving on. Paranoia. No score yet on the tomato meter. It has two rotten reviews. 94% want to see it out of 10,812 user ratings. In this high-stakes thriller, Adam Casey, Liam Hemsworth, is a regular guy trying to get ahead in his entry-level job at Wyatt Corporation. But after one costly mistake, Adam's ruthless CEO, Nicholas Wyatt, Gary Oldman, forces him to spy on corporate rival Jacques Goddard, Harrison Ford, Wyatt's old mentor. Adam soon finds himself occupying the corner office and living the life of his dreams. However, behind the scenes, he is simply a pawn in Wyatt's corporate game and realizes he must ultimately find a way out from under his boss, who will stop at nothing, even murder, to win a multi-billion dollar advantage. Oh, this is a relativity film. PG-13, 1 hour and 40 minutes. Liam Hemsworth, Gary Oldman, Harrison Ford, Amber Heard, Lucas Till, Elizabeth Davids. That's everybody who's listed on Rotten Tomatoes.
Josh Holloway, who Sawyer from Lost. We keep Lost, it seems like.
Oh.
Yep. Interesting. I don't know. To me, I think that's a cable movie.
True. True. All right.
Yeah, it looks that's like all. They're keeping on their tight wraps.
I'm sorry. And then that's all the movies we have in wide release.
Yep.
Did I miss one? No? Okay. For some reason, it felt like you only read three of them.
Okay.
Oh, that means it's time for movie pickings.
Yep.
And Jeff gets to go first again. That didn't come out bitter, did it?
Yes, but that's okay. All right. At one, I'm going to go with Kick-Ass 2. Two, I'm going to do Lee Daniels, the butler. Three, I'm going to go with We're the Millers.
Ooh.
Strangely enough, my wife went to go see that with her girlfriends. And I was, bracing for impact because I sent her to go see Wanderlust, and she did not enjoy Wanderlust.
Oh.
But she loved We're the Millers. Well, I wouldn't say love. She liked We're the Millers because there's a, it's raunchy. And but she said she enjoyed it. And so I'm going to go with Star Power a little bit over than probably what I'd like to put a Legion at three. But I don't know how much staying power Legion's going to have. So I'm going to put Elysium at four, and I'm going to put Art's favorite movie, Planes, at five.
Shoot. I'm going to have to break my rule and change my picks because I forgot certain movies existed.
Erasable ink, Lana, erasable ink.
Wow.
And then for my indie house pick, or our house pick, I keep forgetting what it is. I kind of wanted to pick Austin Land, but then I said it was produced by Stephanie Meyer. I'm not touching that. So I'm just gonna pick one up just based off of genre. So I'm going to do the grammatically correct Ain't Them Body Saints, just because it's a Western.
It's not so much. Did you watch the trailer for it?
No. Rooney Mara. It says Western on Box Office Mojo, and that's good enough for me. Casey Affleck and Ben Foster. I haven't seen a lot of Ben Foster movies, but he was fantastic in 310 the Yuma. I almost thought he stole the movie. And that's it. I'm done.
Okay. I did a quick change in my picks because, again, I totally forgot that certain movies existed. Okay. I also have Kick-Ass 2 first, The Butler second. I'm putting Paranoia third, Elysium fourth, because I forgot that existed. And totally forgot to even think about that. And Where the Millers in fifth. The only movie I thought about from Where the Millers, which was ridiculous. My art house pick is Ain't Them Bodies Saints. I did watch the trailer. It takes place in Texas, which is about as Western as it gets. And what's interesting is I read in a little write-up, it says it takes place in 1970s, I think, Hill County, Texas. It looks like 1942, the way they're dressed. It's kind of strange. It I don't know. It almost reminds me of Bonnie and Clyde-ish. But Casey Affleck commits some kind of crime and goes to jail. Rooney Mara is his wife. And Ben, what was his name? Ben Foster?
Yeah, Ben Foster.
Ben, he's the sheriff. And while Casey is away in jail, writing to his wife, I can't wait to get out, I can't wait to get home, we're going to be together, blah, 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 they fall for each other. And I guess when he gets out of jail, he's not really reformed or anything, but and the trailer looked interesting. But I just thought it was weird that after I watched the trailer, I was surprised to see that it's set in 1970s Texas. Because they're like 50 years behind the times if it's 1970s Texas. That's all I got to say. Okay, Art, your turn.
Okay, well, I am ready to crash and burn again. I went with The Butler at number one. I'm going to go with Kick-Ass 2 at number two. I'm going to go with Elysium at number three. Paranoia at number four, and Jobs at number five. Not even putting Planes or Where the Millers on my list. So we will see how that goes. And I did see that Stephanie Meyer is the producer on Austin Land, and I picked it anyway, because I love me some Carrie Russell.
Isn't... Oh, okay. Sorry, my brain went someplace else. Never mind. Okay, and you know what? Putting The Butler first is not such, because I went back and forth. You think?
It's the bottom of the list that has me worried.
Yeah.
Butler and Kick-Ass, that's a coin toss.
Jobs, I actually put that at five a number of times when I kept playing with the list. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with that. And thankfully, forgetting about Elysium was enough to push Jobs off my list.
There you go.
Okay. News. We got news, people.
Who wants to go first?
I have a quickie. Let's see. Antonio Banderas and Mel Gibson are going to be joining the cast of Expendables 3. Let's see. Banderas is in negotiations and Gibson is on board, The Hollywood Reporter has confirmed. Let's see. Also, I think we already went over Harrison Ford is in it because Bruce Willis is out. And I have a side Bruce Willis story after that. And I think that's... Oh, let's see. Jackie Chan and Nicolas Cage are also set to appear in the film. It's a lot of people. That's all I have on that. And then should I go into the little side Bruce Willis piece?
Go ahead.
Bruce Willis says he is bored of making action movies in a new interview. Let's see, he was quoted as saying, "Explosions are one of the most boring parts of my job. When you've seen a few fireballs, it's not exciting anymore. I know part of my audience enjoys the explosions, but to be honest, I'm a bit bored of it now. I am very clear with who I am. I work in all sorts of films, but the action movies are the ones that generate the most revenue. I like to earn lots of money from those, but I do all types, small productions, mega projects, medium size, even science fiction." So there's that. That was it.
Okay. Art?
Could Star Wars Episode 7 bring back Emperor Palpatine? So apparently there's a little blurb out there that a very major character from Return of the Jedi could make an appearance in Episode 7 in ghost form. And it goes on to talk about blah de blah blah, the same way that Obi-Wan appears to Luke, blah blah, you know, Sith Lords can do the same. And, you know, there's an even more simple explanation than that. They, in the expanded universe and the novels, there were things called holocrons, which were basically like little mini sentient AI type. Any type of Jedi or Sith Master could kind of store some of their knowledge to be passed down to later generations. It was something that was very interactive, and it produced a hologram that, you know, spoke and talked to you. So yeah, that's totally, I can see that happening. So I just thought that was interesting.
Now, from what I remember, was the ghost form, I think, I was just thinking about this theory in my mind, that a master can remain in ghost form for their Padawan, which would explain Qui-Gon for Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then Yoda for Luke. But it doesn't explain Anakin appearing to Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Right. Well, you could say, you know, father and son, there's a connection there.
Well, if you remember Timothy Zahn trilogy of books, Heir of the Empire?
A long, long time ago.
Do you remember that the insane Sith Lord that was a clone?
Jarrus DeBose.
Yeah. What if there is a Palpatine clone?
That's totally possible. But if you also, Jerry, which one was it? I think it was in the, I do not remember which book it was, but basically Exar Kun, when Luke started up the new Jedi Academy, one of the Jedis that he brought in was corrupted by Exar Kun, which was basically just a Sith spirit hanging around on Yavin, where he set up the school. He was in like he was tied to the temple there, because I think that's where he died. I can't remember if he found some type of a relic with tying him, but he got corrupted by that spirit of that Sith. So it doesn't really have to be tied to anybody.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, no, I think I probably have read only a handful of Star Wars books.
I read a bunch, and then I have my best friend from high school, also named Jeff. He's dyslexic, so he picked up, dozens and dozens of those books on audiobook. So I listened to even more than I read, like the first 9 or 12 books in the Rogue Squadron series. Go ahead.
No, I said I've read the first four Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch. I think they're like up to 15 or 20. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've just read a bunch in that universe. That's really not an issue. Another interesting thing about Star Wars, they're confirming that John Williams will return as composer. So that's good news.
Yes, seriously happy about that.
Yeah.
So,
all right, what you got?
All right, so I found this article that's titled "The Further Watering Down of Pixar." So it's not really news; it's more of an opinion piece. Is Pixar going down the toilet? Is basically what he's saying. because you kind of mentioned earlier that Planes came out at number 3, even though technically it's not a Pixar movie, just like Wreck-It Ralph is not a Pixar movie. It was distributed by or produced by Disney Toon Studios, which really was responsible for all of those direct-to-home video movies that you saw. He lists Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time, and Lilo and Stitch 2, Stitch Has a Glitch, as two previous movies that they've done. But now, this is their, I guess, their second movie that's gone to, you know, a theater release. And kind of talks about how, if you look at the string of Pixar movies, Cars was the really first, no pun intended, bump in the road for all of those Pixar movies. And it almost felt like they were just making a movie for younger audiences, or maybe putting the merchandising ahead of the quality of the movie. But then they kind of got back on track with Ratatouille and WALL-E with more grown-up themes than Cars. But now it seems like they're getting sequel happy. Toy Story 3, Cars 2, Monsters University, and this past weekend at D23, the Disney convention that was held in Anaheim, they released some more details about Finding Dory, which is the Finding Nemo sequel. The only thing that I really heard was that they had casted her parents, which I can't remember who they are now, but they cast one of her best friends, Bailey, the beluga whale, who's going to be voiced by Ty Burrell, Phil from Modern Family. So, considering that this is a Disney Toons movie and it's not a Pixar movie, John Ratzenberger did have a cameo in Planes.
I see his name on the list for Finding Dory. I also see Diane Keaton and Albert Brooks. Oh, Albert Brooks is the other guy. So maybe Diane Keaton and John Ratzenberger are going to be the parents.
But apparently Disney Toons, or Disney in general, is not that worried, because they've already announced that this will be the first of 3 Plane movies.
Oh, wow.
Planes movies. So you just have to, either wonder or worry how soon before we see, The Incredibles go to Hawaii, or Ratatouille's Big Barber School Adventure. Who knows? Who knows?
I want my Mole Man story.
What was that?
Mole Man?
The Underminer.
The Underminer. With the end of The Incredible.
I'm like, why does that sound so familiar to me? Okay, yeah, that's why.
That was Ratzenberger's character in The Incredibles at the very end.
I remember.
Where they're at the track meet or whatever. Okay. Art, you have anything else?
Just saw a little blurb. Neil Blomkamp's sci-fi comedy Chappie reveals story details, filming to start this fall. So is this on your radar yet?
No.
More shaky cam?
Yeah, there was actually... Wasn't he first approached to do Star Wars? He turned it down?
I don't know. I thought that he was first... That what's his name wanted him to do Peter Jackson wanted him to do the Halo movie. I thought that was how he originally, his name first started cropping up, and that's how District 9 got off the ground. I thought it was Peter Jackson was talking about doing a Halo movie, and but he wanted Neil Blomkamp to direct, and the people with the license said, no, we want you to direct. And he said, no, I'm not going to direct. I want this guy to direct. And then they said, no. So he financed it, and that's how District 9 got made. That's what I'm vaguely remembering in the back of my head. I could be completely wrong. But that was how I remember that going down. So I thought that was how Neil Blomkamp got sort of his big notice, and then took his career kind of fell. So I don't know, but I'd love to see him in Star Wars. But that's not going to happen, because now we have J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So actually, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lena.
No, I was going to say, I have two little things. One, it just kind of made me go, eh. Nicholas Sparks Let's see. Nicholas Sparks drama gets backdoor pilot order at Lifetime. And let's see. It is going to be called Deliverance Creek. It's going to be given a 2-hour backdoor pilot. The drama is set at the end of the Civil War and follows Belle Barlow as she faces uncertainty as she attempts to defend her family's land by any means necessary. Blah, blah, corrupt bank, blah, blah, blah. Belle turns into an outlaw, blah, blah, blah.
Hold on a second.
I have no desire.
Sounded like you said Deliverance.
It's called Deliverance Creek.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's what this 2-hour pilot's going to be on Lifetime. And another thing that I saw earlier, which made me oh so sad, Lara Prepon is exiting Orange is the New Black.
What?
I know.
She'll return
to wrap up. Pardon?
She made parole?
I'm not in, probably. I'm not. Actually, she's serving more time than Piper is, so maybe she'll be transferred. She's going to come back, so she can't get, well, it can't be a lethal shivving. Lara Prepon will not return as a series regular when the 2-hour drama returns. She will only return to the Lionsgate TV-produced drama to wrap up her storyline, though the door remains open for the actress to return to the series. But I did read, and I don't know if I read it here. Oh, let's see. That Pensatucky and Crazy Eyes are going to be promoted to series regulars, which makes me happy because I love Crazy Eyes. At first, I was very unsure of her. She is now one of my favorite characters. Kate Mulgrew is now going to be a regular. And let's see. I think they're filming season 2 now, or just getting started too. But I was so sad because I really like Lara Prepon's character. She does a really good job with it, and I was kind of bummed. But the only thing, the side note was that Alex, her character, the only thing she really knows is the drug trade. So she doesn't really have a straight and narrow life to return to. So that is interesting. And I did get caught up last week on season 5 of Breaking Bad, so that Sunday, and I raced home Sunday because I was at my friend Laurie's house, and I'm like, I've got to be home by 9. I don't care what the hell's going on. I have to be home by 9 to see Breaking Bad. I was home at 8:58, and I might have broken a few speeding laws just to make sure I was home with him. But damn, it was a good episode. That's all I have. I am newsed out.
All right. Now, I was in Vegas over the weekend, and I happened to look up what conventions were going to be in town this weekend, and I noticed that at the Rio, where we usually stay, they were having a Star Trek convention. And I thought about how I would convince the wife to go chucking over to Rio to go check out the Star Trek convention. But I think she'd appreciate that I'd probably want to get a picture with Alice Eve from Into Darkness. So, we didn't go, but on io9.com, they did have an article called The Greatest Star Trek Cosplay of the Year. And it's just the typical, whenever there's a con, they just have a photo roll of all of the different costumes from all the cosplayers.
Yep.
But there was a very sneaky blurb in here about one of the panels. They had a panel, and I actually saw this in the program when I was looking through what was going to be at the convention, that they were going to, the fans were going to rank top to bottom all of the Star Trek movies. And this just further proves to me that these people are my people, because I really don't have a quibble or a tribble with any of these movies or the order in which they put them in. So we're going to start out with number one. Art, would you like to guess what number one was?
Being these are your people, I'm going to go with Wrath of Khan.
Okay, Wrath of Khan at one. Next, we have First Contact at 2. Not my personal choice. I probably would have put it third.
Okay.
At number 3 is Star Trek 6, The Undiscovered Country. And then we have at 4, Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home. And at 5, Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock. And then we get down to number 6, we have the reboot from 2009, Star Trek. Now, this next one is a curveball. At number 7, the crowd put Galaxy Quest.
Nice.
It's the 7th best Star Trek movie.
Says love that.
An unorthodox pick, but endorsed in person by Denise and Mike Okuda, who they were, I guess, technical directors or creative consultants. They designed most of the ships, the rooms, uniforms. They have, you know, they publish a lot of books about Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, blah, blah, blah. All right. At number 8, now we're getting to the Next Generation neighborhood. At number 8, we have Generations. At number 9, the last of the TOS movies, Star Trek The Motion Picture. Oh, I'm sorry. There's actually one more after this. At 10, Star Trek Nemesis. 11, Star Trek Insurrection. And at 12, they even put Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, which I probably, I don't know if I'd say that one's the worst. It's definitely second worst. But
which one's the whale movie?
Lucky 13 was this summer's Star Trek Into Darkness.
Which one was the whale movie?
That was Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, the 4th.
See, I thought that was a piece of crap.
That one is regarded as a better movie because it brought back the humor into Star Trek. The nuclear...
I think this made...
You know, Mr. Scott trying to, you know, talk to a... I believe it was a Macintosh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Art, go ahead.
I was going to say, it just could be backlash from, you know, the type of person who's going to put the Wrath of Khan as the number one movie, seeing that reboot and just putting it down at the bottom.
Right.
You know, just to, you know, I like this one the best, so I must hate that one kind of mentality.
True.
Yeah. That's legit.
And I just sent you guys a link that has all the cosplay pictures, so you can. I think my favorite one is Drunk Borg.
Starfleet cosplay.
Okay, Art, you have any other news? Because I got one more thing.
Yes. Well, I got two more things, but they're kind of related.
Okay.
One is we have confirmation on Vin Diesel's character that he's playing for Marvel. He is going to be in the Guardians of the Galaxy, and he is playing the tree-like alien Groot. And reading the article here, it says it is they're finding the casting interesting because Groot isn't a very challenging role because all Groot knows how to say is, I am Groot. Maybe they'll change that, but we'll see what happens there. And also, Vin Diesel star in original sci-fi action movie Soldiers of the Sun. teaming up with writer Arash Anil. Apocalyptic future where the world has been invaded by a race of aliens called Orcs. Centers on a team of soldiers down in Mexico fighting off alien forces that go off on a side mission to search for a fabled city of gold. So there we go. All the Vin Diesel news you can handle.
Okay. My last piece is sometimes it's a Hollywood Reporter type of week, but this week it's more of an io9.com kind of week. They are presenting their fall movie guide, our forecast on 20 science fiction and fantasy films. And strangely enough, the top one for September is Riddick. Their prognosis, this looks like pure action movie goodness and very much a return to the Riddick we loved in the first movie. We visited the set and the love of mayhem just burst from every corner. So I was going to disregard this movie, but Art kind of talked me into it and I saw the trailer on the IMAX screen and I might go see this in the theater. Next, we have some horror movies. We have Hell Baby, which is actually a comedy. Rob Corddry stars in this horror comedy about a man who moves into a haunted New Orleans house, after which his pregnant wife starts acting extremely violent. So, yeah. Some other movies, Insidious Chapter 2, The Colony, which is a disastrous ice age caused by our attempts to fix global warming. The last survivors of humanity live in a handful of bases, and to make matters worse, there are zombies. That's a Canadian movie. And then I know my friend Nick is looking forward to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Then when we get to October, we have Gravity, which is George Clooney, Sandra Bullock, directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? I think two astronauts get stranded in space.
Oh, that's okay.
October 4th, we have Bad Milo. Ken Marino plays a guy who's stuck in a stressful job suffering from horrible stomach pains until it turns out there's an evil demon living inside his intestines, and it sneaks up, attacks the people who are stressing him out. If you don't remember who Ken Marino is, this is how
Then I don't want to talk to you.
No, I know who he is.
No, I mean for the people who don't know who he is.
I mean, I always bring up Burning Love. If you've seen Burning Love, then you know who Ken Marino is.
Actually, I don't think I've seen that.
It's the parody of The Bachelor.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to see that now.
Yes. Well,
oh my goodness.
At the end of every episode, they have Jennifer Aniston makes a cameo, Kristen Bell, Ken Jeong plays a ballerina. I think they're on season 3. But my wife was cracking up because he's a fireman. So instead of the rose, he says, "Will you accept my hose?"
Where is this? Why do I not know where it is?
I believe it's on Netflix. I think I watched it on Netflix.
I'm looking right now, because if it's there, that is going the...
Moving on.
It's not.
No, then it was on Comcast, on demand on Comcast.
E actually was showing season 1. That's when my wife first saw it. But Yahoo has been hosting as a web show. I think that's how it originally started. Okay, moving on. Nothing Left to Fear. Movie produced by Slash from Guns N' Roses, so it's got to be great. Pastor moves to a town, turns out to be one of the 7 gates of hell, blah, blah, blah. Demonic shit is afoot. They're remaking Carrie with lovely Grace Moretz taking the sissy
stuff. That is the best line ever.
And Julianne Moore as the psycho mom. Okay, then we have, let me see, there's also Haunter. The movie moves, family moves into the haunted house. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen. Escape Plan. I actually have coworkers that saw this at an advanced screening. Sylvester Stallone is an escape expert who gets locked in the most high-tech escape-proof prison of all time. And it turns out to be an evil conspiracy. Good thing he's locked in with the Terminator. Arnold Schwarzenegger. So that looks interesting. And Ender's Game is out November 1st. I don't know if I really need to tell you about that.
Nah.
Thor the Dark World, November 8th. If you've seen the full trailer, it looks good.
I haven't. And I can't even remember what trailers I saw for Elysium. I know there were trailers. I just don't know what I saw.
And then Hunger Games Catching Fire, November 22nd. IO9 says the first trailers have looked good and Jennifer Lawrence is still note perfect as Katniss. And we're excited to get more of Donald Sutherland as President Snow. But this is a book to adapt because the political maneuverings get more complicated. And it's an open question whether director Francis Lawrence, who did I Am Legend, can fill Gary Ross's shoes, especially given such a short turnaround time. And then, I'm not exactly sure if this is Pixar or Disney, but then we have Frozen, a loose adaptation of Hans Christian Andersen's The Snow Queen that has Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel, and Jonathan Groff. So I'm guessing there's probably some songs in this one. And then we get to December. The Hobbit comes out on December 13th.
Oh, that's my mom's birthday.
And an interesting movie that comes out on December 18th is Her. And Joaquin Phoenix is a guy who falls in love with the Siri-like operating system of his phone.
Alrighty.
Voiced by Scarlett Johansson.
Well, there you go.
I just bought an iPhone just now. Okay. And then a movie that was talked about by Art and Elena in a previous episode, 47 Ronin. This long-delayed supernatural action movie directed by Carl Rynch, who also did the short film The Gift, is finally getting released in the death slot on Christmas.
I want to see that. And I will see that.
It's Keanu Reeves as a samurai. Yay?
That's a... I want to see it. The story, the plot itself is enough to pull me in. And then I'll have to see if he holds up.
And then two other movies that I'm going to keep an eye out for, and you've probably never heard of. Maybe artists heard of them. One's called Zero Charisma. A Dungeons & Dragons Dungeon Master Faces a Personal Crisis. There's been a couple people from podcasts that have watched it locally and said it's really good if you're into D&D, I guess.
Okay.
And the other movie is The Knights of Badassdom. Have either of you heard of this movie?
No, but I love the title.
Sounds familiar.
It's about LARPers.
I've got a buddy who he's totally into these. He has like all the gamers and Gamers with a Z and Darkness Rising and he watches all of these. So he might have mentioned it not too long ago. Anytime one of these pops.
Knights of Badassdom has Peter Dinklage. And it also has, I was about to say Jewel State, but no, River. I can't remember her name. Summer Glau is also in it, and it's about a bunch of LARPers that somehow, during the course of the game, summon an actual demon, and shit goes down.
Ryan Kwanten is in it from True Blood. Danny Pudi from... Oh my God, Community.
Yes. And they shot it, and it didn't look like the distributor was going to release it at all, but now it's going to be out, but nobody knows when. So if I hear anything, I'll let you guys know about it. But those are two that I'll keep an eye out for. And that's the end of my last long-winded news article.
Okay. I have no other news stories. All right, you got anything else?
I do not have anything else. I did some quick looking on Burning Love, and it is available on Amazon to rent. I saw a, looked like a $1.99 rental, an episode.
Yeah,
for
I've seen
23 some... minute episodes.
Oh, wow.
Burning Love season one, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
By an episode. But also up at the top, the first thing that comes up is Burning Love, the movie, clocking in at almost 2 hours to rent for $3.99.
Now that I could get behind.
Right. Well, I'd look for it tomorrow on the internet first.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that, okay, I watched this in its entirety. I think it was only like 10 episodes. And I think if you cut out all the previously and next time, and all the extra drama that they kind of worked into the show. Yeah, you probably could cut those 10 episodes down to about 2 hours. but yeah, it was hilarious. And I definitely think you should see it. It's so, so funny.
I wrote it down and I will be looking for it for the best way for me to get my hands on that or get my eyes on it.
Yes. Okay. I guess that's about it for me.
Yeah, me too.
Me three.
There you go. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy whatever movies you're going to see. And we will see, play our game. Please play our game. BD, very happy that you're back. Hope you hang around. And we'll see you next week. Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.